This is The Agenda from News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com, where topics of local concern affecting you are open for discussion. And now your host, Michael Knight.
That's the time the show starts. Every day, Monday through Friday, it's called The Agenda here at News Radio 560 KPQ. I'm Michael Knight, my very special guest today. Well, we've done it for an entire week. I can't believe it's Friday. I mean, I like the idea that it's Friday. I just can't believe we finally got here. Two ladies a day since Monday of the top 10 of the hopefuls for the royalty for the 100th annual Apple Blossom Festival have been coming by. And today, draw near to your radios and meet Savannah Slythe and Olivia Lancaster.
Hi.
They're the very nice ladies. Say hello. Say hello, ladies.
Hi.
They told me that they're the most talkative of all the ladies that we've talked to this week. It's possible. Yeah. Everybody's a pretty good talker. But today we're going to talk. Do you ever get tired of just talking about yourself?
Sometimes.
No. Well, we'll see if that keeps
in today. Yeah.
I know that I get sick and tired of talking about myself. But today it's not about me. Not about me at all. In fact, this hasn't been about me all week long. It's been about the... Well, the tradition of the Apple Blossom Festival, 100 years. And when you decided to enter this, this is my first question that I ask everybody. Okay. We'll start with you, Savannah.
Okay.
When you told your parents that this was your idea, this is what you really wanted to do, did they put on the brakes at all? Did they say, go ahead, Savannah, you're going to do what you want to do anyway?
So they were all for it. Actually, so I've grown up in Wenatchee my entire life. And so I've always gone to the festival, loved the festival. But what really sold me on the festival was when I was in the fifth grade, I was part of junior royalty. So I was a princess in junior royalty. And because of that, I kind of saw the ins and outs of the festival and how much the Apollarians pour into it, how the community pours into the festival, and just how much we love the festival and celebrate it. And so I think seeing the impact of that is what sold me on being on top 10 and just participating. But yeah, my parents were all for it. And love the idea.
Because they know there's a lot of work that goes with it, a lot of time, a lot of commitment.
A lot of time, a lot of commitment, but
probably more than anybody knows until they've actually done it.
Yeah. Yeah, I had friends that said it's a huge time commitment, and you never know until you're part of it, but it's all very rewarding.
Now that you are part of it, Olivia Lancaster, what do you think of the step that you've taken? Are you proud that you did it, and are your parents behind you?
I'm so proud that I did it. It's actually something I kind of wanted to do for a while, and... Yeah, my parents are so impressed of my heavy load and then what I've added on to it because of Apple Blossom. But I definitely pitched it to them as a scholarship opportunity, so that really sold it for them.
Ah, there you go.
Yep.
Well, there's probably a freshman or a sophomore out there listening to you right now saying, what do they really do? I mean, what should I get involved with this? It looks so enticing. It looks so alluring. It looks like something I might want to do. It looks like a person that I might like to be. But it's not easy.
No, it's not easy.
Oh, go for
apparently
it.
Apparently I'm right. It's not easy.
No, what I would just tell them is even if you have the slightest inkling to do it, you just want, maybe you want to put it out there, I say go for it because even if you don't make it into the top 10, it's something you did. You put yourself out there in front of your community, in front of your peers. And then if you do make it into top 10, you can kind of see what it's all about. You see the ins and outs like Savannah was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just another great thing to get to know your community.
So one day you're private citizens, just normal students doing what all the other students do. And the next day after you've made the top 10, you are committed from morning to evening, committed to the festival itself and all and everything that's happening now for the top 10. How did your life changes just like that?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, just from the meeting, when we all met up, the initial meeting of just, do you want to be a part of this?
Mm-hmm.
I even think from that, just seeing the entire packet we were given that was, what, like...
That was scary.
50 pages? 60 pages of just all your things you're expected of. But there are the nerves coming along with it, but the entire process has been so rewarding, whether it be meeting the girls or just building yourself up, building your confidence. I mean, no matter what, getting up in front of people and just... putting out a speech that you wrote and you're proud about, that's super rewarding.
By the way, you girls are working on another speech already, right?
Oh, yeah, another speech already.
What's the topic, or can you discuss it?
Yeah, so the speech topic is, I think of what the world will be. And so you can just go off from there and talk about whatever.
Yeah, it's pretty broad, but that's a good thing, I think.
What the world will be. So you're looking to the future and imagining what it's going to be like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
or what you hope, what you hope.
What you hope it will be.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, that's anything, right?
It's, right? It's so broad, and I think that's what's going to be really interesting about the pageant coming up, is everyone will have something different and unique to talk about, and so I think that's a cool thing.
That's the voice of Olivia Lancaster. You are the drum major at the Wenatchee High School Apple Band.
I am.
Now that's, you wear the different uniform and the hi-hat and the huge baton, and you can, and you can kick out the lights.
I don't know about the light, but yeah, that's what I do. I've been doing this. This is my second year and it's so much fun. We get to go around and compete in the fall and then we're at football games, basketball games, parades, and it's just a great community of kids.
And speaking of commitments, there's a lot of rehearsal for that, isn't there?
So much rehearsal. Yeah. Actually when I was talking to Mr. Kovac, our director, and told him that, hey, I made top 10, he was like, oh no, you're never going to show up. Because we do. We have so many practices. We have so much time. And so to add another thing on top of that, he had been kind of prepared for it. But no, it all works out in the end. It's really fun.
There has to be another drum major to follow you someday.
Yeah. So actually, I'm the senior drum major. And last year, I was the junior drum major. But right now, I'm mentoring Johan Luna. He's our junior drum major. And basically, it's just a continuous mentor program, and you just teach them the ropes. You show them everything.
Bring up the next one.
Exactly. Never-ending cycle, for sure.
Now, you're in the band, but you don't play an instrument as the drum major. Am I correct?
I don't play an instrument when we're marching and competing.
But you do play three different instruments.
I do play three different instruments. Yes, I play the tuba or marching sousaphone, bassoon, and bass trombone.
Well, you like the big ones, don't you?
I do, yeah. I take some weird instruments.
How much does a sousaphone weigh?
It depends. So the sousaphone that I practiced with my freshman and sophomore year was about 25 pounds, but the one I competed with, because it was shinier and prettier, it was 35 pounds. And so, yeah, it's a lot for one shoulder.
Wow. Tell me about Works Life. What's that all about, Savannah?
Well, so I work at Works. It's the gym in town. It's in Wenatchee, and there's a location in East Wenatchee. And I work in the kids club. So I'm not actually old enough to work the front desk yet, unfortunately, but I love the kids. And so essentially all I do is I go into my shift and hang out with the kiddos while their parents are working out, and we draw, paint, play games, and I love it. Actually, it's the reason I decided to be an elementary school teacher.
Oh, you're going to be an elementary school teacher.
Yes,
that's not
yeah.
in your biography. How did you manage to squeeze that by them?
I don't know. But yeah, it totally has impacted just my view of what I want. And I figured out that kids make me truly happy. And just being around them every single day is something that's so exciting. And so working at Works has been very rewarding. And especially just, it's a gym, so it helps me active, keeps me active. And yeah, it's a great place to work.
So where do you want to go to school to study education?
I want to go to Washington State. And be a Coug, go Cougs, and I want to further my education there. So, yeah.
And is there another school on your list? Because you have to apply to more than one, right?
I want to be a Coug, Oregon Trident.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, I'm not going to argue with a Coug.
No,
one ever won that argument anyway.
Never.
How about you, Olivia? Where do you want to go to school?
I want to go into the medical field. So right now I'm looking into Gonzaga and waiting for UW to get back to me in March.
Those are two hard schools to get into.
Yeah, I've actually been accepted into Gonzaga, and I've been accepted into their nursing program. And then UW, they just don't tell anyone till March. So it's a big waiting process.
So, but you're going to study medicine?
Yes.
As a physician would study medicine?
Yes. So as of now, the plan is to go into nursing and get my RN after 4 years, and then either become an LPN or a PA, which is a physician's assistant.
Mm-hmm. With a goal to be, is that your goal?
As of now, yeah, to become a doctor.
And what do you think of the medical industry? Because now you're right on the edge of entering it. All the secrets that they know, all the magic that they work, all the sick people who flood to them and say, you got to fix me.
I find it so interesting. So one thing, I am a helper. I'm a kind of teacher's pleaser. I always want to help everyone. And yeah, the medicine part of it, the physical part of it, as in like the medicine and research, but also the personal part of it, just it all fascinates me.
So you're not going to study one type of medicine?
That's to be determined.
To be discussed at another time.
Yes. Ask me that in a couple years.
You're going to be busy for the next couple of years. You'll probably never remember this interview, but that's okay. That's going to be a great measure, a major, I should say. What is the Twisted Tomboy? Is that a real business?
It is a real business. So
I'm sure it is.
It is. So I started Twisted Tomboy. It's a bath and body company that I started actually in the fifth grade.
A bath and body company.
Mm-hmm. So okay. We sell like lotion, soaps, candles.
Bathing is good.
It is. We got bath bombs. Hygiene. So I started in the fifth grade. It actually started off, I'd make lip balms for friends just as a hobby, and I'd hand them out to friends during recess. And then eventually it became an expense, so I was pulling money out of my parents' wallet. And they said, my mom helped me make an Etsy website, which is Etsy is just kind of homemade products put online for people to buy. And so I made an Etsy website, and eventually it started to kind of grow, and my parents kind of funded more into it and helped me create new products such as lotion and stuff like that. So started creating new products, and then my parents fully invested in the company. They actually kind of set aside their jobs because they worked together at a sales training company. And so they kind of set that aside, made a website for my company, and we slowly started traveling for Twisted Tomboy, going to gift shows, trade shows. My parents actually just got back from Vegas at a gift show. It went really well. But it started off just really small, a little hobby, and it has expanded, and it's a nationwide company now. And I started it because the funky name kind of comes from I was a big tomboy, played soccer, basketball, you name a sport, I played it. And I was also the Apple Blossom Junior Royalty. And so I'd be going from soccer practice to putting a crown on, getting a dress on, and going in the parade. And so that's where I get the Twisted Tomboy name. It was initially for girls who are tomboys, but also have that girly side.
So if your parents come home and they say, Savannah, what are you doing? You say, I'm making lip balm.
Yeah, so actually my mom is in charge of making all the product.
Really?
And packaging. And of course in the summers when I'm not working, I help her out. And then my dad is in charge of all like the ins and out business, calling on people. And yeah, he's more into like the financial side of things. But my mom's in charge of making the product and marketing, and they work really well together.
How would we buy your products if we're interested?
Well, we have a website, twistedtomboy.com. But we're also all over town. Go to Pybus and Full Bloom. We're in Candle Connection and Leavenworth. All over town. So go right to Pybus and you can find us.
I've actually seen Twisted Tomboy in Nordstrom's over in Seattle before. So
really?
That was pretty cool.
We're a nationwide company.
Well, while she's making lip balm for people like you who go to Upland's Mission Ridge and dry out their lips, tell us about your hobby. You're quite a ski freak.
I am a ski freak. I've been skiing for 13 years now. I started with lessons up at Mission Ridge. Then I went to the Devo program, which is an all-mountain program, basically just training kids to ski, get off of the groom runs, and go adventure out. But then I went into mogul freestyle. And so you ski the moguls, do a jump, ski moguls, jump moguls. And so I was actually able to go to junior nationals my freshman year, and I competed in Sun Valley. And it was such a great experience. And now I'm back at Mission Ridge teaching my Devo class.
So do you still, every time you go down the hill, are you thinking of yourself as a competitor or as a teacher?
That depends what kind of skis I have on. It all depends.
Well, how many kind of skis do you have?
I have two. I have my mogul skis, and then I have my Black Pearl Blizzard skis, and those are kind of my all-mountain skis. But definitely when I'm teaching the kids, I have kids ranging from ages 8 to 10. I'm definitely teaching them little things and tips and tricks that I've learned through the days just to make them better all-mountain skiers. So it's kind of a mix. I'm kind of always the competitor. The competitor is always inside of me, for sure.
Well, I know a lot of kids probably will go up there to learn how to ski. Kids of all different ages.
Oh,
but
sure.
Once they get 2 quarts of snow down their jacket, they don't want to ski anymore. How do you keep them on their sticks?
Oh, well, that's when you make a game of it and you just see, okay, that's when you kind of, one, sometimes you have to take them into the lodge and get them some hot cocoa, get them warmed up. But then you just make a game out of everything. Anything that happens, if you fall, that was an epic crash. Like, get back up.
That was a good crash.
It was a good crash. It was. And you point out that they got up. You make sure they're not injured. So far we're good on that. Knock on wood.
Well, Dr. Lancaster, you can tell if they're hurt, right?
I'm not qualified for that quite yet. We take them down to ski patrol, but I haven't had to do that yet. So pretty awesome.
Well, what do you like best about Mission Ridge? Sounds like you're a daughter of the mountain.
I am. I
Oh my goodness. Well, just if you go up day to day, I just love the atmosphere. The lift attendants, they're always so nice, so kind, and it's just a great all mountain group. But then my work, just the people I work with, my bosses, they are the coolest. They're the coolest group of people that you can meet. We kind of call ourselves ski bums. They kind of just live up
there.
That's
a compliment.
It's a compliment for us. I mean, some people are like, oh, you live up there. And I'm like, yeah, of course. Where else would you want to be? But no, it's such an awesome environment. I think the environment is just probably the best.
Well, what is it about skiing that immediately attracted you? I mean, do you remember the first time? Do you remember we were learning skiing as a little girl? You remember learning how?
I think I remember it more from the photos, but I definitely remember skiing with my brother. My parents wanted us to, they're the ones who showed us, oh, we're going to go skiing now. And it was just kind of a requirement, but I'm so thankful that they did because it's such a lifelong sport. I mean, there's someone working up there, Otto. He is 93, just had his birthday last Sunday, and he's still teaching. So just lifelong sport. And
why
I think
not?
That's what attracted me. It was something I can do with the whole family. I skied with my grandpa. I skied with my parents. I skied with my brother. I skied with my friends. So I think that's the big incentive to go up.
So we're going to buy you a pair of skis. Money is no object. What do you want?
Oh, my goodness. That's such a hard question because it's, do I want my powder skis and then am I going to go travel around the world and ski in the Alps? Or do I want my all mountain skis that I have right now that I absolutely love? It's all on the person. It's all on my mood of that day.
Well, okay. What would you buy for the Alps? The Swiss Alps?
What
the French Alps?
What would I buy for the Alps? Oh my goodness. I would have to get that all mountain ski that I can carry on my back so when I jump out of that helicopter,
oh gosh,
I'm ready to go.
Sounds like you have a plan. Our guests today are both hopefuls for the top 10. One of them could very well be the queen. One could be a princess. I don't know. I don't get a vote, and I'm so happy and so thankful for that I don't have to make up my mind who goes further. Olivia Lancaster and Savannah Slife are our guests. We'll be back right after these words.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com. The Agenda with Michael Knight on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
And at 35 minutes past the hour of noon with 32 degrees outside, that's not much of a day. When we go out, can you girls run out and turn up the day, please? Let me know when it's about 75. Olivia Lancaster and Savannah Slife are our very special guests. They're in the top 10. We've done the top 10 all this week, and now this is the program that concludes it. And part of our show today is for Savannah and for Olivia to explain to us what Apple Day is, because it's tomorrow.
Yeah, it's tomorrow. So tomorrow is Apple Day, which means the top 10 will be going out in the community. You'll see us at Fred Meyer, Costco, Wenatchee Apple Valley Mall, Pybus, and Wenatchee local businesses.
And at those places, we will be passing out Crunchback apples, and so you'll just get to meet us if you come by. Hopefully, you get to meet us and eat some apples
and hang out with us. Yeah.
Funny, I want an apple right now. Don't you just talking about it?
Right.
Yeah.
I happen to know about the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
You do.
I do.
You watch it.
Well, the promos got me. I said I'd seen the actress before. I can't recall her name, and I knew that she was funny.
Yeah.
And the idea that she moves to New York and gets completely crushed by society but doesn't seem to care.
Yeah.
Just wins every
oblivious,
breath.
Yeah.
She's just oblivious to it. She doesn't care that things are going wrong or how to do things right. She has an undefeatable spirit.
Right.
Even though she's completely at odds with the rest of the world. So I thought, well, that would be kind of fun. I think it's out of my demo, but anyway, I thought she was a good actress. How come that's your favorite?
It's my favorite show because it just reminds me a lot of myself sometimes, how I always carry a positive attitude and confidence to things. Sometimes I'm a little gullible or don't realize what's going on. But,
so you are Kimmy Schmidt.
I am Kimmy Schmidt, actually, yeah.
And your favorite book is one called Everybody Always by Bob Goff. Tell me about that one. I don't know it.
So Everybody Always by Bob Goff is essentially about learning how to love people that are either difficult people or just loving people in a difficult situation. And Bob Goff has played a huge role in my life. He's actually hugely involved with Young Life. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Young Life.
You can tell me about it.
So Young Life is a little, it's nationwide thing. And this summer I actually volunteered a month of my summer at a Young Life camp in Canada called Malibu. And so the cool thing is Bob Goff has a place up at Malibu where he stays, and he writes books. He's a pastor, and he just travels around preaching. And he's written a few books, but that one is one of my favorites just because it's so true to my life and just learning how when you love people that might be difficult or just finding ways to make the best in situations is so applicable to everyone's lives, no matter who you are or where you're from.
Your favorite book is one that I have read, Lord of the Flies by William Golding.
Yes.
My God, that's a dark one. But it's fascinating.
It's so fascinating.
It's a real page-turner.
It is. I actually read it when I was up hiking with my mom and my brother and then our good family friends, and I couldn't put it down. I finished it within 2 days, I think. But I think it's just the idea of the society, like kind of dystopian society, but it represented our society so well, that kind of just blind following. And I just found that so interesting. And being up in the woods, kind of hiking around, and my imagination kind of wandered. But I love that book for sure.
And it's also, for folks who haven't read it, or there's got to be somebody out there that doesn't know what we're talking about. These are privileged schoolboys from England.
Yes.
Who find themselves suddenly cast ashore.
Suddenly.
In the jungle of an island.
Yeah, they're just cast away. They don't really know what to do, but there's different characters, and you can kind of see the leadership characters who try to band them together. They try to get them to safety, try to make sure everyone is all right, keep accountable. But then there's other people in their society, and kind of they make this own society and full of the hierarchy and stuff. But there's other boys in that society who just, they don't care for others, and they end up kind of corrupting a lot of the boys, or most of the boys actually. And it's just a kind of scary thing to think about to happen with, you would put yourself in these 12-year-old boys' shoes.
How civilization ends in just a matter of days.
Yes. But also, how it was kind of rewarding that the one thing, as they were going through this terrible, they discovered the monsters themselves, and as they were going through this terrible thing, the one character, he was trying to just make a fire, and they finally did, and that's when they finally got saved. So it's just that one character pursuing and persevering through all of it, and it finally got him out alive. So that was one big thing.
Crazy book, crazy movie too, if you ever saw
the version. I haven't seen the movie.
I think there was just one version of that. The Cowboys is a movie that you do like,
yes.
But I don't know the Cowboys. I can't remember which one that is. I was going to look it up, and I never did.
Yeah, it's a John Wayne movie. All of the men are off to war, but someone needs to bring in the herd. Someone needs to get the cattle, and so John Wayne rounds up a bunch of local boys, kind of rough around the edges, and he puts them to work, and he makes them kind of a family. And so I just remember I used to watch Western movies with my grandpa. So that was just one I hold really dear to my heart.
Your grandpa Richard is someone that you are most inspired by, now that you mention him.
Yeah.
Tell me about your grandpa.
My grandpa was just a person who is always positive, always funny, always had a very kind and loving personality. And so, yeah, I want to emulate him so much. He means the world to me. And he just made everyone feel loved and everyone feel a part, and like everyone wanted to be his friend. So I was just, he's a big influence on me.
You too, Savannah, were inspired by someone in your family, your brother.
Yeah. So my brother is 18 months older than me, so we're very close. And just growing up, we've always been best friends. No matter what we did, whether it be through sports, because he also played soccer, he'd always push me and tell me, he'd give me a lot of confidence. Just tell me I could do better, tell me what I could work on. And even going into school, he goes to Wazoo as well, so he'll be there when I'm there. And I've just always looked up to him because he just always gives me the right advice right when I need it. And he'll tell me the truth when I need it. He's just my rock. And we've always been best friends, and I really look up to him.
You, in your interview, I guess you all had to fill out some sort of form that provided us with these biographical notes. Mm-hmm. And one of them was, who would you trade place with?
Yes.
Places with. And you chose someone that, it's unusual.
It's a little unusual.
It's hard to want to trade places with someone who lost their life being themselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
You chose who?
I chose Anne Frank. And the reason I chose Anne Frank is just because I really admire her. After reading up on her and just the situation she went through, there is so much to admire her. She always brought a light to every situation, whether that be just locked away with family for days, hours, months, she always found a way to turn a really crummy situation into something so positive. And I truly admire that about her, and just looking on what I'd consider a problem in my life now, you know, like my gas tank going empty on me, or compared to how she took on her problems in her life, I just really admire that. And I think it'd be a big awakening to be in her shoes and trade places with her and just kind of, yeah, get a wake-up call.
When did you become familiar with the writings of Anne Frank?
I became familiar, I think it was around, like, second grade. I remember there was this project on the Holocaust and just kind of, it was kind of a dark project. I think we were in class together, Olivia, for it. So we did a project in class, and that's kind of when I started studying up on it, and it really fascinated me. Not just the whole Holocaust, but just the people involved and the attitudes that were taken with it. And Anne Frank stood out to me because I could totally relate to her. I was a young girl, she was a young girl, and I think that's why I was so fascinated by her.
And do you ever see pictures of her or the apartments that she lived in, that neighborhood in Amsterdam?
You know, I've seen pictures of her, watched videos on YouTube about her, read articles up on her, and one of my dreams is actually to go to Amsterdam and visit the Anne Frank house.
You keep in your memory, Olivia, keepsakes of all the traveling that you've done with your family here and there and around the world. Where have you traveled to that sticks with you, that has stayed with you all these years?
Probably. So my family, that's one of the gifts that my mom wants to give me and my brother, is the world. She wants to get us our eyes open to different scenarios and different cultures. And so one of the big things that I think I will remember the most is probably traveling to Greece and seeing, I find Greek mythology really interesting. It's actually kind of one of the weird facts that I know. I know kind of a lot of Greek myths, but I just found all of the historical paintings and all of the culture that's there and over in Europe so fascinating. So that's like one of my big things.
Which of the characters in Greek mythology do you like or identify with?
I love Athena. She's the goddess of wisdom. She just is so she's so confident, and she just, it doesn't matter that she's a woman. It doesn't matter that some people, like, resented her for being the only, her father was Zeus. She didn't have a mother. She was born out of Zeus's brain. So some people resented her for that. And I think just her courage and her strength throughout Greek mythology just is really something cool that I like.
Here comes Athena, her dad's Zeus, who's going to lord it over the rest of us.
Yeah.
And they named a city after her, didn't they?
Did.
Yeah, nice town.
It was. It was one of the places I was able to stay, and it was just so cool being able to see where those myths took place and where those stories happened, seeing the Colosseum and seeing all of the architecture over there. Seeing all of that was just made kind of your imagination run wild.
That's the voice of Olivia Lancaster. Savannah Slythe is also our guest. We're talking to the top 10 candidates. Somebody here is going to be the queen. Someone's going to be a princess. Someone is going to be to advance to the next level. I'm not involved with that, as I said before, and I couldn't be happier about that question being answered by someone else. But Olivia and Savannah, nice to talk with you. We'll be back, and we'll finish our investigation into who you are and how you got here right after this.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ.
Medium and high settings for those close-up or outside flood areas. Rechargeables, too. Pacific Power Batteries sells the cool stuff for when it's needed.
The Agenda with Michael Knight on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
12:50, the show's almost over. I can't believe it. The week's almost over. That I hope is true. Olivia Lancaster and Savannah Slythe are my two guests today. They're in the top 10 for the royalty for the Apple Blossom Festival. Let's see what else is on my list here. Your favorite actress, Olivia, is Blake Lively. Why?
Actually, this is inspired by the past queen, Amy Sands. She was the queen 2 years ago.
I remember her.
Yeah. So we had first period together for our wind ensemble, which is a music group in the high school. And she just looked at me one day and she said, "You know who you look like? You look like Serena Vanderwoodsen from Gossip Girl." And now every time I say it, as Savannah gets a shocked look on her face, every time I say it, people see it and they see it. So I kind of looked into Blake Lively, and I just love, one, I love all the movies that she's in. She's so funny. Her relationships, she's probably one of the funniest people I've seen. I mean, she's not known for being a comedian, but I just see her as that. And so I just think she's such a great role model for me. Not necessarily all of the things, all of the, her acting positions are, I'm not saying that I want to be like her actor, but her as a person, I think that's what I like about her.
You're inspired by that.
Yeah.
As you are by the movie The Notebook. You love that one.
I love The Notebook. I love romance movies, but The Notebook just stands out to me.
Well, for someone who hasn't seen it, what is it that you love about that movie?
Well, like I said, I like romance, and it takes place, I think, in the 50s, I believe the 50s, 50s, 60s, and just the whole scene of, what I really like about it is there's no phones. And that might sound weird being in today's age, but I really admire, like, the entire story of them falling in love with, like, no social media, no texting, there's just no phones. And I think that's such a beautiful thing that I don't see in our generation anymore. And so that's what I really liked about it, is just the, how it was so authentic and just original, and it was just really unique to me. I don't know. I just love romance movies.
What have you two ladies learned about using your phone in terms of the etiquette that you're practicing now as the young ladies of the Apple Blossom Festival?
You really have to watch. I know. It's kind of scary. Like, you look at your phones totally different now, but you really have to watch what you post, because you don't want to offend anyone, and you just want to be your best foot forward. And so you just have to be really cautious of what you put on the internet, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I just, like what she said, you have to be cautious. For me, it's never been a problem.
Right.
I've never had, like, a Twitter, and I feel like there's a lot of controversy through Twitter. But I've always just feel like I posted, and you posted, too, just really uplifting things. And so it's never been a problem. But you do have to be super aware what you're posting, what that message sends to, whether it be a 4-year-old girl or a 50-year-old woman, or, you know, because it does send a message. Whatever you're saying sends a message in one way or another.
And do you understand now that people in the public eye increasingly don't have accounts, because it just doesn't. It's a hassle.
Yeah.
More than, it's not a way to communicate with your friends. It's just a way to be the target of your enemies.
I actually got my grandma to come on to Instagram just so she could see everything that I was posting, because I have a Facebook now, but originally I didn't, and I just wanted to show her, like, all of the things that I'm posting that sometimes she doesn't see. She sees what my mom puts on, but she doesn't see, like, what I'm doing day to day. And so I actually got her on it, and I like it. I kind of use it more as to show my family members who are in Bellingham or not around, just, like, kind of what I'm doing. And so I think, yeah, I've never had the problem where I post something, like, scandalous or anything, but it's... That's just also just a thing you have to be aware of on social media.
You don't have to post anything scandalous to offend someone.
No.
You can just you can be retweeting or sharing a video of a cat playing the piano, and someone is going to take offense.
There's always critics, and there's always people who want to find any little thing that you messed up on, a hair out of place. But you just have to remember to be your best self, and if you're putting your best foot forward, you can't help the couple... The 1% of the population who finds something that they don't like.
Olivia and Savannah, really nice talking to you today.
Thank you for having us.
You're both full of energy. It was a quick hour. Olivia Lancaster and Savannah Slife. They're part of the top 10. This show's over. We got to go. Have a great weekend.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.